Welcome back to the JRD Hogcast. I am your co-host, Dylan Lee, joined as always with Jordan Russell and our producer, Luke Griggs. Let's get into it. Finally, Jordan, finally, we might have Nolan Richardson Court at Bud Walton Arena.
It only took 10 years, but finally it might happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hell yeah, brother.
I like it. I like it.
I mean, I guess it took a game winner from Jalen Harris. I don't know what exactly. Obviously, long overdue, like we said on our Twitter, at JRD Hogcast. It's just something that's needed to happen for years and years.
What happened? Trustees says no.
Yeah, exactly. So the timing is a little weird with that. The Board of Trustees is going to have their meeting March 27th and 28th, and that's when they're going to look at that motion. And I can't see that happening. Like, that group is put together, and they're supposed to be in tune with the fan base. And anyone that's in tune with the fan base or on Twitter would be able to see that this is what needs to happen. So,
well, that's what I was going to bring up. You brought that point up the other day that this, I'm just going to go ahead and say when it happens, gives the people, the fan base, kind of the nod, like, hey, we do listen to you, because this has been something that's been talked about. I said 10 years, it may have been even more than that, I'm not sure, but I mean, like, you opened up with finally, it took the worst season in Mike Anderson's career to make this happen.
Yeah, and of course, the timing of it to be official will be after the season, so that's kind of weird, and it still is weird that the Ole Miss game was set up to be perfect. You know, like I said, you had the throwback jerseys and all that kind of stuff. Now, my question is, we will still have that group that, okay, you've gotten your Nolan Richardson Court. So the next step is they're going to want the slobbering hog back at mid-court there.
Do you really think that that's realistic, though?
No, I do not think so. It is cool. It's part of the history of Arkansas and all that good stuff, but it's dated at this point. Maybe redoing it? I don't know. Maybe putting a modern spin on it, but it's dated.
Redoing the slot? Modern spin on it?
Yep.
I don't know. I think you just get the name out there, put it on the court, everybody be happy, and if they find something else to gripe about, then, well, that's the fan base. So, you know, that's going to happen one way or the other.
Yeah, just leave it on Twitter and let them have their piece on Twitter.
So. Do you think the reaction, because you touched on this last episode, do you think the reaction from the buildup of Nolan Richardson, the throwback uniforms against Ole Miss, I mean, because it was kind of a letdown. I mean, really, you thought it was happening. It didn't. And that now they've announced it after the Ole Miss game. Do you think that the letdown from that is what really got this conversation going?
I definitely think that's why the chancellor put in the resolution for it. There was just too much stuff happened. There was fire, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, all that good stuff. And Twitter was ablaze with that kind of talk. And this was the only, I think, closest way of fixing it, because that whole thing was weird. You didn't even have the AD at the 25-year anniversary. Like, you didn't have him at halftime at that game. So it was a weird atmosphere there.
So how long is that going to last? So March 27th, 28th, we'll find out. I'm assuming we're going to have to wait until the season opener next year, the home opener, to reveal it.
I would imagine they could do something along those lines, and it would be the beginning, probably the home opener for Bud Walton or something like that. But it's interesting. I think you could actually have your own event with that and still be able to put bodies in seats.
I don't agree with that.
You don't think so?
I think it's got, I mean, okay, let me phrase it this way. I think you could have an event, have it be its own event, but I don't think it would have quite the hype as a home opener would.
Oh,
I mean, of course, but I think it would be more special to have it at the beginning of the basketball season.
Right. Well, I was thinking more of like a almost a fan day festival kind of deal, and then, you know, you could even kind of just rehash it because, you know, you parade out the 94 championship team enough and it'll still be inside the 25-year deal. So you could have a big 25-year anniversary fan day kind of deal at Bud Walton.
They've almost kind of ruined the hype for it, really. I mean, it'll be exciting. Hey, we finally got it. But you're right. They've already had a big to-do about the 25-year anniversary. So it's almost kind of a makeup call, you know, if you will. Like, that's, man, now I'm even more, I don't even know if I'm excited anymore. They've ruined it. They should have done.
Yeah, well, now we need a statue.
Oh, Lord.
The cord's not enough. We need a statue.
Let's get a Mike Anderson statue out there in front. Just, you know, wide open statue, and then he can be escorting you in to Nolan Richardson Court. How about that? Have his hands kind of off to the side here. Like,
how about old Scotty Thurman hitting the shot? Just freeze frame like that as the statue?
Does that not need to be Isaiah Joe now? He's kind of taking a throw, man.
Oh, geez. Well, until he makes a shot that wins the national championship, you know, yeah, he can break some records and he can break some Scotty Thurman records. But until he...
I can make a shot for the ninth seed to advance into the SEC tournament.
Oh.
They beat out, you'll be the ninth seed.
You reaching. You sounding like me right now.
Real hard right now.
Yeah. But that was a great win. We don't know. Vandy's terrible there. It was good to see us just rout a team and not be routed for once, but Vandy is just awful. But we had Gafford Windmills, we had Johnny Buckets, we had Ty Stevens. It was a glorious thing for the last 2 minutes against Vanderbilt.
Can you set your homerism aside for a second? Let me ask you this question.
Oh, geez. Okay, let's go.
Did you, at any point leading up to that game, think we would be the first SEC win for them, for Vanderbilt?
Oh, geez. Yeah. There was a gut that I said we could Arkansas this thing up and give Vanderbilt their first SEC win. I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it, but I will admit it. Hi, I'm Dylan.
I have a problem.
Yeah.
Was that? I think it was 15-5 at one point. I don't think that Vanderbilt stretched any further than that at the beginning of the game as far as a 10-point lead. But I was right there with you. I just knew that we were going to. Would you say Arkansas that up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the beginning of the game was rough. It really was. It was sloppy on both sides of the ball. And, you know, the second half, momentum was there. They had that confidence, and they had a swagger that you haven't seen inside Bud Walton this year. And we weren't even at Bud Walton. We were on that raised court of Vanderbilt's, and it was just crazy to see. Like, we haven't had that kind of play performance inside Bud Walton, and it was good. Anytime you see Johnny Buckets calling bank Saturday, the bank is still open that late.
What do you think about the Alabama game? You think we got a chance there?
I think so. Team's getting better. And
so it's tough to ask this question, but it's just where we're at with the season. Does playing for that seed in the SEC tournament give them any extra juice?
I think so. In terms of, I think the big thing was actually clinching the 10 so that they don't have to essentially have that play-in game for the SEC championship. So you get one less game to actually have to play there. And clinching that, I think, was a bigger deal because at 10-9, you're basically in the same position when you're looking at the brackets. So, but
right.
Ultimately, you're going to have to play a Kentucky, LSU, or Florida again, and we don't know how that's going to go. Yes, we beat LSU, but I don't think lightning striking twice.
I think between all those teams you just mentioned, though, I think Florida's probably the best one to get right now. They're not playing too well.
No. LSU is the other side of it. I wouldn't want them. I would want Kentucky again If they play like they did the second half against Vanderbilt, I mean, it's obviously hard to judge because Vanderbilt is terrible. Dumpster fire. But, I mean, LSU, we had some news with them. Some wiretapping by the FBI.
Drop there. I was fixing to go into that, man. No, I was going to say, I mean, this, again, reaching, but LSU might kind of have some other things on their mind come tournament time.
I think that could affect it, but ultimately it's, you know, not going to be a matter this year, and they won't, the infractions and all that, if there is any, we probably won't see it for another 2 years. You know, they'll drag this out, and
that's good. Two, 3 years maybe. I kind of cut you off though. If you want to tell the listeners what did drop as far as the wiretapping and everything.
Well, I actually haven't been able to dig too much in it, but it's my understanding that they have a wiretap of the LSU head coach Wade, Willie Wade, and
Will
Wade. Yeah, I gave him a little extra swagger there. Willie Wade, you know, like Willie Beeman. Yeah. But I guess it was more or less, I don't have the quote, but it was an offer.
Through a recruit is what the quote was.
What was that again?
Strong ass offer to a recruit.
Yeah, that doesn't look good for him. And
no.
Back into this FBI probe, they are going after some NCAA basketball. And we know it. You've seen blue chips, right?
I think if you get into NCAA basketball, especially as investigations go, that would have to be the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, you could probably catch maybe even Arkansas doing something out just outside the lines of the rules, you know.
I think when you actually dig into the NCAA and all that kind of stuff, the rules and regulations on it, they're probably everything in a program, because they fine-tooth comb it in the aspect of, you know, recruits getting meals and gear and this kind of stuff, and there's definitely some gray areas with it.
Dunn Rule, I think, maybe even encourages those infractions just a little bit more than it would a football, baseball, softball, you know, any kind of program like that.
Yeah,
because and it's a little bit
the
student athlete.
The thing about the one and done and just the early release or, you know, leaving school early, I think the program or the sport that has it right is baseball. Like, I feel, you know, if you have the opportunity, and I feel like they should adopt it across the board with sports, if you have the ability right out of high school to either go play football somewhere, go play basketball somewhere, go do it. If, you know, sign you an agent, test the waters. If that's, you know, what happens, it happens. And go play pro ball if you have that ability. But if you don't, then you're going to be locked in for at least 2 years at a university if you commit there, and then you can leave after that. And I would say
plus
you could.
Three.
I'm sorry?
It's three in baseball. Yeah. You're locked in 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years. Yeah. And
why can't that be the blanket for the whole NCAA athletics?
Absolutely. I have no idea. It makes sense. I don't get why everyone is different. I would assume it's probably the Players Association and the unions for those respective sports, because MLB has them, NFL has them, NBA has them, and they all have their own understanding that they have with the NCAA, and, you know, each one of them is greasing that side of it for NCAA as well.
I think football, though, I mean, you couldn't get it. I mean, those athletes would be once in a generation.
Yeah, yeah, and they have all right in the world to go straight out of high school if they are. Like, I would make the argument, especially with where we're at with the XFL come in, AAF, and there's the other league that McCaffrey's putting together that's just California-based, and they've already mentioned, like, they would want to take an avenue like that. And one of the names they mentioned was Trevor Lawrence, was a guy that a lot of folks, as, you know, as a true freshmen could come in and play in like a semi-pro league or a farm league and then work up, because, you know, school's not for everybody, but the NCAA pretty much ties their hand to go play ball.
If you go through the list just in the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years, the only one that really sticks out to me recently, Trevor Lawrence kind of surprises me, to be honest, but Leonard Fournette, just, you know, stature-wise, I think probably the only one that could have. Well, you know, as I'm saying that, that boy got hurt a lot in college, and he's hurt a lot in pros, too, so, I mean, I don't know. I think.
Well, you can also say that's just his running style. Like, so, it's getting hurt, that just strengthens the argument that they need to go quicker and go grab that bag, as they would say. And Fournette, with his running style, that might be the issue and why he has all those injuries. But another guy, I mean, Darren McFadden, you don't think he could have done it?
I don't think he could have.
No?
He wasn't as thick as Fournette. Like, he's kind of, I guess, really his whole career has kind of been more of a tall and lankier guy. I know he was big, of course, but, like, Fournette was just built like a, well, you know what, brick house. So.
Yeah, I want to do some digging and see the growth of DK Metcalf from, like, his freshman year to where he's at now, because obviously he's just skyrocketed. And
we're going for every episode and take a shot at Ole Miss, because that could fall into sanctions too, feeding steroids to their players.
Not just in their meal plan right there. Just welcome to the athletic center. I mean, Ole Miss is just, it's a layup to take shots at them. They don't know what their mascot is. They don't know the rules. It's too easy. At this point, we should eventually probably just try to go an episode without taking a shot at them.
At them, we can keep, you know, LSU or Alabama. We can do stuff like that, but Ole Miss has had it rough enough. Don't you
think? Yeah. So.
Not even just from us.
Yeah, I mean, they got our leftovers with Houston Nutt, so.
And kind of sort of transferred into football talk. Big news. Well, is it big news for the Razorbacks with Nick Starkle?
I'm so indifferent on this. It's really hard.
Before you get started, but I'd like to let the listeners know, for the most part, we try to have a production meeting, kind of go over talking points and stuff. But this one, you and I chose to not talk about it. This dropped on Monday, is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
That'd be the March 4th, I think, with that calendar in front of me. But we decided to go the whole week, all the way up until Thursday, March 7th, without talking about this. So I have no idea where you're about to go.
Well, yeah, so you kind of lead me up and think I'm just going to drop something amazing here. But I'm really just so indifferent on it. Depth is good, and you want to be able to have the folks that you can evaluate. But an interesting thing here with me is we had a hard time figuring out at the start of last year who our quarterback is. So if we truly say Ben Hicks, because he knows the playbook, he, you know, has that relationship with Chad Morris, and Nick has to come in, and he's coming in August, so he's going to be behind the curve and that kind of thing. So he's going to be playing catch-up, but say at that level right before kickoff, they might be close or equal. Like, are we going to have that back and forth and have the – because one thing I really didn't like from Chad was he essentially had a scheduled release on, you know, when he was going to pull Ty Story and Cole Kelly out and that whole thing. And I didn't think that was necessarily the right move in things. So if they are really that close together, when it comes time to pick a starter, is he going to make, you know, is he, you got to pull that trigger and have that starter in place well before your first game, I think.
I agree with that. So I was, when it happened, I was, coincidentally, very much on the same avenue you were with indifferent. I like that word, indifferent there. I didn't, it's, well, that's unfortunate because we have a lot of the same views on that. But I kind of my thought was, first of all, I'm sick of this transfer portal crap. Like, it's collegiate free agency is what it is.
Oh, absolutely.
And we've already, like you mentioned, we got Ben Hicks. I don't think we can get any other quarterback, a realistic quarterback. I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence would come here and he wouldn't be our starter. Obviously, he would. But no matter who we pull right now, Ben Hicks is the starter next year, I think. Which you touched on, you know, the relationship with Morris and everything. But my first thought when we got Starkle was, this is a guy that got beat out by Kellen Mond.
Right.
I don't think that good. He's good, but it's kind of weird that he got beat out by him when I just don't think that dude has really the skill set quarterback. He's more of a runner, and he can occasionally throw a bomb, which, you know, Darren McFadden, hello, we had that already. But so I pulled some stats on Starkle, though, and this, it was kind of, I guess, a little bit encouraging, but in 2017, he got hurt in the first game against UCLA, and he returned for the last four games of that season. And this is what the stats were. He went 123 for 205, 60% passing percentage. He threw for 1,793 yards, which averages out to 448 yards a game. That's pretty encouraging, actually.
Yeah.
14 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and that worked out to 150.1 QB rating. And he also beat Wake Forest in the Belk Bowl that year and broke a bowl record for throwing 499 yards.
Couldn't get that one more, huh?
Couldn't get 500.
All right, so he threw for 500 yards. He just didn't get his toe in the right spot.
Wants to bring in a quarterback that does not go for 500 yards.
Yeah, exactly. Why even try if he hasn't thrown for 500 yards? It's pointless.
No, so those are obviously good stats. And when I first looked at his 2017, I knew he had an injury at some point. I wasn't sure what year it was. But when I first saw his stats, I was like, well, not even 2,000 yards. You know, that's kind of terrible. But then you do the math, and you're like, he's averaging 450 yards a game.
All right.
Which leads to my next thought about this. What if he is better than Ben Hicks? And Morris feels compelled to play Ben Hicks because I'm sure he promised Ben Hicks that he was going to be the starter.
That's kind of where I'm at with it. And it also opens the thing with your oncoming. So you have KJ Jefferson as well, where maybe he's thinking, I'm supposed to, you know, a year or two and then be in this system, and that's definitely being delayed now because it's my understanding we're getting 1 year of eligibility with Ben Hicks, two with Nick, and then obviously we have up to four or five with KJ Jefferson. So I think that can throw a wrench in it, but it ultimately it's good to have 6 quarterbacks on scholarship? That's crazy.
But what does that... I kind of have a note here. What does that mean for KJ? Does KJ see this? And obviously, he's going to battle his butt off and, you know, try to get the starting job. I'm pretty sure everybody behind Ben Hicks realizes that they're basically... Well, I'm pretty sure Starkle, would he come here to not be the starter? I mean, he could have done the same thing at A&M and Seth this year.
Right, yeah. So, and then
that's kind of getting away.
He didn't even go to Florida State. Like, he said it was between Arkansas and Florida State, Nick did. And he didn't even take that official. He committed and transferred to us, and he's going to graduate from Texas A&M and then come over here in August.
I'm high on KJ. I think we touched on that in our first ever Hogcast. We're just speculating everything at this point, but that would be really disappointing if KJ, I agree with you, I'm pretty sure he probably committed here expecting a redshirt year, getting to play in those four games and being the starter in 2020. But now he could be looking as far out as 2021.
Right. Ultimately, if he can stay the course, I think it just helps him out because being in a system for 3 years.
These guys don't, especially he was a 4-star recruit, and he's not going to commit to a program he doesn't think he's going to get to play for right away.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to be the one to bring it up, but I will be. You never know with college football. Like the transfer portal is there because coaches can just up and leave, and you know that's not right to the players that committed to the school. Like everyone wants to sit there on Twitter and be like, oh, they committed to the you know university. They didn't commit to the coach, and it's like that's not right. The lead recruiter is going to be the head coach of that football team, and then it's the facilities. Like the relationship doesn't start with them on campus. The relationship starts usually with a flyer that you know got sent out by the university, and maybe a call, email, and that whole deal. It starts with the coaches, and if they're just up and leaving, I completely understand. Like I understand the transfer portal.
I'm kind of going. So transfer portal, hate saying that. I get that. I'm sort of one of those people, though, where I say that they committed to the – I don't necessarily say the university. I say the team. And we don't have to talk about this too long, but I can't stand the bosses of the world that sit out a full season because they got banged up or whatever in practice and don't play the rest of the year or – go through the whole season, battle with their guys for 12 weeks, and then set out the bowl game.
Yeah.
But outside of, you know, I get transfer. I do understand the transfer report. The TP.
I mean, it is a silly name. And I feel like in today's day and age, like this is something that is being brought up and talked about with any body that really talks college football. And I was like, couldn't come up with something better? Transfer portal? Like, sounds sci-fi-y, you know?
Does the Starkle move change your season projections at all that we talked about?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think it affects a win total this year. I think it, you know, will affect win totals the coming years because the competition in the quarterback room, having those folks and feeling like they have to compete because, I mean, I can't imagine what the quarterback competition looked like last year. Like, we saw the product on the field. It ended with 2-10, and we saw Cole Kelly throw 4 interceptions in a game. We weren't watching every practice rep, but I can only imagine what that looked like during practices, and I can't imagine it being fiery, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna lose to this guy. Like, they probably both were like, yeah, I'm good, and the back and forth didn't help any. So I think competition just makes it better, and strive to get better and beat the guy out in front of you.
With the mentioning the quarterback room, does Dalton Hyatt still exist?
That's a great name. I mean, what was it? 2 years ago he came on to a red-white game, and I mean, it was really even in Chad. It was Chad Morris's first red-white game that people were really kind of giving him some love, and he was looking good.
That's where I'd again.
Yeah, you definitely were talking him up.
I said he'd be the starter before the season was over.
Yeah.
Now, where that guy's at.
So he did play some, right, last year? Right. He didn't?
Well, he may have come into that Eastern Illinois game.
Oh, wow.
He did come into that Eastern Illinois game because you texted me. Get your ball. I think he had a pretty good game, too. Pretty good couple reps, anyway.
So, I don't know. I mean, I know he's used a red shirt from a previous year. Big guy. He kind of...
athletic guy.
Yeah, I mean, he was a Bielema guy, so I really don't know. I'm surprised. I thought he would kind of be in that group with the transfer window. You know, we have Cole that transferred, and we have Ty Story, who went to Western Kentucky, who will play later this year. But I'm surprised I didn't hear anything about him.
We haven't heard anything about him. I mean, pretty much after the first couple of games of the season last year, we haven't heard anything about him.
Right, yeah. Do we need to, like, put his face on a milk carton? Do they still do that, or?
I think moved on to, or not moved on to, but we've kind of gone back to stapling posters on light poles.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, they just send out them Amber alerts to my iPhone.
It's been so long. Does he look different? What's the most recent picture we got?
They're going to have a sketch artist out there and be like, have you seen this man? So,
but hey, I'm serious though. What do you think's going on with him? Do you think he's just not getting it? Do you think he's, is he having some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Issues, disciplinary issues.
I don't want to, you know, that's something I don't want to open up into or anything like that. You don't want to
open.
You don't want to speculate or anything like that with that kind of stuff, but I would just assume that, you know, maybe not getting into the playbook or mechanics kind of deal. It's one of those deals where in Morris's offense, you kind of, timing is everything, rhythm, footwork, and all that, you know, because that can all affect a play and slow everything down with how fast-paced everything is. You have all these, you know, smoke and mirrors that happen. And if you're not on point as a quarterback, that's going to affect everything. So I would assume it was something along those lines, mechanics or just not being able to get a grasp on the game. But he might just be getting outplayed.
Well, I'm leaning that way. Yeah, he's getting outplayed. But it's just kind of just to me, it's crazy that we haven't heard anything.
Right.
Like he's come up in any kind of football conversation in months and months.
Well, that quarterback room is deep now, especially, and they've got some ballers. So even John Stephen Jones can make some plays if you saw some of his high school tape. And
he's not going to be a player in the.
No, I mean no. Yeah, he's a legacy, and you know, it's a little frustrating that he's on scholarship, honestly. But that's a whole different day, whole different segment.
Wow. Yeah. We mark that down for something to talk about.
Yeah, the billion-dollar grandson.
I know we've talked about this with Chandler Morris, Chad Morris's son. Obviously, he's been getting some looks for the 2020 class. You know, I think Auburn was the first one to offer him, first D1 school to offer him. If he does come here, would that not be irritating if he gets a scholarship?
A little bit. I don't know how all that works, but it would.
You either get your parents pay otherwise.
Yeah, and just
or something.
Give that spot to someone else.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not a knock. I mean, that's not like saying he's not good enough, because he's obviously a good football player. He's a really good quarterback, but, you know, not just the fact that he is the coach's son, but or I guess that is the fact, but you could give it to a kid that doesn't have a whole lot, you know, family-wise, you know, family can't afford it, and football's his way out. That's where that scholarship, and again, speculation, we don't even know if that's going to happen yet, but just kind of playing off of what you said with John Stephen Jones, because his grandfather could pay for every student-athlete across athletics of Arkansas Razorbacks. He could pay their daggum schooling.
Well, yeah, Stephen Jones was actually in practice today, watching his son practice as well. They came out full pads there, with the exception of Connor Nolan, who has to still be in shorts due to NCAA stuff, being a two-sport athathlete. But what's some stuff coming out? Let's see, they've kind of did a little interview with Chad after the fact and everything, and the first major thing was the Scuda having a foot injury, which I guess was Scuda on Twitter said that it was a nagging injury and kind of played it down, and looks like the timetable is sometime in May, and until then, he looks like he's just going to kind of help coach up folks and kind of be like a student coach.
Is the timing not a little strange on that?
For the surgery kind of deal?
Yeah, I guess maybe spring ball just started up last Thursday or Friday, but maybe he thought it would be okay and started doing some football moves, and he's like, I need to go ahead and take care of this. But without knowing the extent of it, I kind of thought that might be a end of season surgery.
Well, yeah, you hear someone's going to be out for the rest of spring practice, and then you hear it's surgery and it's foot surgery, which we're all into common with foot injuries with the Arkansas Razorbacks for some reason. But they've downplayed it so much, and they basically made it sound like routine and just a cleanup surgery. So some other things, Trey Knox is apparently still showing out up there. He's a name that just keeps popping up. They definitely been pressing him through social media and stuff. They had some one-on-one blocking drills.
Mm-hmm. He made Greg Brooks not like being Greg Brooks at that particular moment.
Hey, if we got some big, and that's another thing about this receiving crew coming in, these big guys on the outside blocking for Rakeem Boyd when he comes back, or some of these other quick scat backs, the Chase Haydens of the world and all them folks. It'd be really nice if I see them big guys just blocking downfield. It's going to be good.
I don't think Morris has had an interview without mentioning Trey Knox so far during spring ball.
Definitely not. So
the cool thing about going around with him and Greg Brooks in that blocking drill is the excitement of a wide receiver getting, I mean, that was full contact. They was going at it. And he got done throwing him on the ground, and he was pumped. And that's a receiver. That's not a running back. That's not a lineman or linebacker. That was a receiver getting pumped for contact. And you don't see that very often.
Right.
I'm getting pumped talking about it.
I know. You about to run through the wall there. Sosa, he's another guy that they're talking about just more in a leading aspect of things, and they're kind of seem like they're leaning on him to, you know, make that step forward. Being a leader, I think this is his senior year, so stepping up and showing out.
This is his senior year, isn't it?
Yep.
I hope it's better. I mean, he hasn't been bad by any means, but he's a 5-star recruit, especially in the Pelham area. You kind of hope for something better. And, of course, you know, they've changed defensive styles, formations and stuff, but hopefully he has a good year next year and you know, makes his way and maybe first, second round draft pick at the end of the season.
Yeah, that'd definitely be nice. Full go at that deal from 5-star to top NFL prospect would definitely be nice. And I think just having some guys around him will be there. The linebackers, though, with Scooter coming down, we're thin there. I hate to bring up the transfer portal. We still got some scholarships, but you got to look into there, right? And maybe start.
Chad Morris came out and said that they're on the hunt in the portal for a linebacker.
Oh, he straight up said that, huh?
He straight up said that, yeah. I mean, you can't. It's really not a knock. Even if we have five guys that are, you know, competing for a starting role, it's not a knock on them. I mean, you need depth. You're a college athlete. You know that people are constantly gunning for your spot, so.
Yeah, so. And then, let's see, we would have Bumper Pool. He's going to probably step up and get some more reps. Hayden Henry, Grant Morgan, that's kind of the guys I would think of that would be able to get some more reps inside practice in that spot for Scooter.
There was a name LaFrance mentioned. I don't know who that is.
Hmm.
I almost wonder if it was maybe a misprint, but his name did come up. I kind of just noticed that before we started recording here, so I didn't get to look that up. But maybe that's somebody that can step up too. I mean, he was the first name mentioned in that quote, so outside of Bumper Pool, sorry. Connor Nolan, I'm trying to call myself out here, and you cut me off a while ago.
Yeah.
I didn't think he'd be in practice, period. So we were on recording. I was on recording saying that. You said that I said the spring game. I said he wouldn't play. What I meant was, I didn't think he would be in spring ball.
Right. And so it always seemed like the arrangement was for him to at least be in spring ball. Now, this red-white game was where it would get a little weird because it's going to be on a Saturday. And if they have midweek games, he's not going to be at every practice. That's not going to be possible, right? Because the midweek games are going to put a hamper on that. And then the spring game being on a Saturday, and he's obviously kind of finding himself in the rotation. So around that time, we'll be opening up SEC play, actually probably be really in the heart of SEC play. So Chad Morris did say he doesn't have Connor Nolan on a pitch count per se on that kind of thing, because, you know, want to save that guy's arm even when he's throwing a football or baseball. But he says we don't overthrow our guys. But it's one of those deals where you're hearing these reports that he's coming from practice to practice and that kind of stuff. He's doing both, but I don't think he tries to throw at both of them. Like, he'll be, you know, watching through on maybe a football one and then go throw at a baseball practice or vice versa on that kind of thing.
I don't know. I think, especially as we talked about it earlier, the QB room, I know it's fun for a kid to get to play both sports. And if I was him and I had the abilities, I'm sure I would probably want to try my best to do both of them as well. I just feel like his future's in baseball. He's already put up some pretty good numbers. I know we haven't really played, you know, outstanding top-tier teams yet in baseball. But to me, I don't even look at baseball that way as much as I do with football or basketball as far as top-tier. I feel like baseball is a little bit more even across the board. But, save yourself, because if something was to happen, even in a spring football practice, and I know the quarterbacks really don't get hit very often at all, but if something was to happen that runs both sports for you, he's going to live with that regret for the rest of his life. And the QB room at this point really doesn't have a place for him. I don't mean that as bad as it sounds, but I think he needs to stick to the baseball side of things.
Well, one thing that we haven't mentioned yet, when we were talking about depth and the quarterback room specifically, another two-sport guy in Justice Hill coming over from basketball, he's going to play quarterback for the Hogs as well. So that's just another body in there, and that's another two-sport guy that they'll have to work out with.
Quarterback, he's going to play quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's quarterback for the Razorbacks?
Yep.
Man.
Yeah, so...
Makes you wonder if something's being tossed around. You know, this, I'm not trying to do this on purpose, but do you think that the stripping of the Hog has anything to do with all this competition that's in it? I say inadvertently, I wonder if it's been inadvertent that, I mean, a guy that had no reason to come over here and play basketball or football for us, Justice Hill, knows what all is there in the QB room. And he's choosing to still come out and play football? I mean, do you think that Hog thing has anything to do with that?
I think he's just a competitor. He enjoys the games, wants to play them. I mean, I would try to take a shot for it if I had that kind of talent. I would try to do both. Even, you know, I wouldn't scare away competition or anything.
Well, no, but quarterback.
I know.
Quarterback's different than position on the field.
And there's only one of them.
There's only one of them. So... I mean, yeah, I'm not hating on either one of them at all, but
now the stripping of the Hog, in theory, I thought it was really cool, but I'm seeing the execution, and I'm honestly not happy with it, because we're seeing the videos, we're seeing the pictures, and they're still out there in full gear. They're still Hogs out and that whole thing, and there's plenty of Hogs on that practice field, and Chad Morris went back, and he's not donning the gray sweatsuit anymore. So it just kind of, like, ghosted, you know? Like a bad ex-girlfriend just ghosted, and all of a sudden we're supposed to forget that that was a thing? Like, I thought it would be a deal, like, we got some, you know, for like a Nolan Richardson thing, we got some dogs on the field, they're going to earn their Hog, and that whole thing. I kind of thought there would be that moment where it happened, but it was just like...
Where Chad Morris wasn't wearing his sweatshirt, so I'm just taking your word for it.
Well, that was practice one, he was, and every practice since, he's rocking normal Hog gear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
not even on there.
Yeah, he's it's everyone's out there. I mean, full don. It's the stuff, and it would probably honestly is their deal with Nike. Because when you've got a contract and a partnership with them, and you're pressing and you're putting all this stuff out there in social media, Nike's going to be like, hey, we're kind of giving you a deal or something along those natures. Like, you're a Nike school.
Don't backstep from calling out Chad Morris.
I'm not backstepping, but I mean, it's...
Come on. I mean, Nike could make them a jersey that had nothing on it. The Nike don't have to do with the Hog. Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, at that point, you're just costing the program money. Like, I'm sure they already have pennies that don't have Hogs on them and everything like that. Now, the helmets don't, but they're practice helmets. Usually your practice helmets don't have all the gunk on it anyway because, you know, you're not going to waste them.
Maybe he wants them to earn practice helmet Hogs.
Practice helmet Hogs. I don't know.
You don't want to say it five times fast? Okay. So I'm kind of going to backstep here because I feel like it's a little bit relevant. It might not even be backstepping, but it's more so related to basketball. And by more so, I mean it is related to basketball. So Jeff Long goes to Kansas University, right? Athletic director. The first, it has absolutely nothing to do with Jeff Long, but the first year that he's there, Kansas snaps a 14 straight year streak of owning at least a share of the Big 12 title in basketball.
Totally his fault, right? I know you gave the disclaimer it's not his, but
yeah. That guy, I like Jeff Long. I never had a problem with Jeff Long other than maybe his loyalty to Bielema, but, like, you know, whatever at this point. But he left with a lot of hate at the university here, and I think it was wrong. I don't think that he really deserved any of it. But goes to Kansas, and of course the football team's terrible, right? But it just so happened to be the first time that they didn't own at least a piece of the Big 12 title in basketball. That is terrible luck.
Well, Kansas in a whole, like, it's definitely a luck thing, coincidence thing. Again, Jeff Long has nothing to do with that, but you really get about dig into it. I know we stay really away from Big 12, but in natural and all the press that I could see, they've had some injury concerns. Like, they've had their stud, I think, went down early in the season. I don't have anything on me. This is, you know, straight off the dome piece, as I would say. But that doesn't help things. And then they were also linked in with the FBI stuff. And it was to the point with the FBI link that Jeff Long actually has it in his contract that if there are sanctions, that he will get extended the amount of that sanction. So if the NCAA comes down and says, like, hey, you guys did this, that whole thing, you're going to be banned from postseason for 2 years, Jeff Long gets an extension.
That's a smart businessman.
Yeah.
That's touche to his agent, right?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a great job to take at the time, and he definitely used it for his negotiating power.
Well, I don't know anything about Kansas other than they're really good at basketball, at least for 14 straight years. Not this year because Jeff Long took over. But you would think that that's kind of like the Alabama football program for the athletic director at Alabama. They can pretty much get away with being terrible at everything else. And I kind of like you off the dome piece here. I'm pretty sure they always have a really good gymnastics team. And I think their track team's normally up there. But outside of those two sports, the football program carries the university, right?
Yeah.
Do you not think Kansas, like you said, it wasn't a good job to take? Is that because their football program's terrible?
Well, I was more or less saying the infractions, because you're going into a job that you don't know what's going to happen to one of your biggest programs with basketball.
He had that handled, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why he did that. I mean, he still doesn't really know what the NCAA could do. So, good on him.
I wonder if Les Miles.
Oh, the old Les Miles drop there.
We don't talk about that anymore. I missed another topic I wanted to hit on as far as basketball goes. Would you believe that Arkansas is in the top three of the SEC in free throw attempts?
Attempted, right? Like, basically, fouls gone our way?
On our way.
I'm calling BS on that.
Calling out the NCAA statisticians. Man,
it doesn't seem like that watching a game.
It doesn't. Like, at all, because there have been games, and if we could go into those games and look, where we were outshot free throw wise by 15-20 plus. But we're sitting at 23.1 attempts per game, and LSU's at the top of the list with 24. When I heard this, we were actually in the top four, and I looked that stat up today, and we've moved up to the top three with Vanderbilt being right behind us. It blew my mind. Yeah. Anybody listening, go look this up because they won't believe me.
That's crazy. I'm definitely going to jump on that as soon as we're done. Matter of fact, we're going to kind of change it up with how we're going to wrap here. We're going to end with basically our SEC, well, not our SEC, but our calendar, our Razorback sports calendar. I'm just going to run through. And until next time, woo big suey. All right, so right now while we're recording this, the ladies are playing in the SEC tournament in basketball. And we also have the tennis team going to Baylor on Thursday, March 7th. After that, we've got the golf team heading to South Carolina on March 8th. And we have gymnastics at Birmingham March 8th as well. The baseball team will open up their series against Louisiana Tech Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We also have the indoor NCAA championships. That's in Birmingham. That opens up on Friday. That'll be televised on ESPN on a tape delay. We have the women's tennis team that'll play Friday, March 8th in Fayetteville. Woo pig suey.